This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
If you're looking for commitment, flexibility, competitive interest rates, and on-the-farm service, then try Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 95 years, generations of farmers have been turning to Farm Credit for all their farm financing and crop insurance needs. As a farmer-owned and directed cooperative, Farm Credit is there to meet the needs of today's farm families. Whether it's a farm real estate loan, operating line of credit, machinery refinance, or one of our many crop insurance options, Farm Credit has the products farmers want with the service you deserve. Products and services delivered by professionals who know agriculture. It's our only business. Farm Credit brings a higher level of experience and expertise to farm lending, providing better financial solutions for your farm business. Call Farm Credit Services of Illinois today at 800-444-FARM. Remember, 800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Upgrade your drive by heading to your local BF Goodrich dealer now through May 7th and buy any set of four new BF Goodrich brand passenger or light truck tires and get a $50 MasterCard prepaid card after mail-in rebate. Taylor Tire and Auto, located on West Tyler Avenue in Litchfield. See redemption forms at participating dealers for complete offer details. Offer expires 5-7-2012. Void where prohibited. The card is issued by Citibank, N.A. pursuant to a license from MasterCard International Incorporated and managed by Citi Prepaid Services. Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue in Litchfield has the expert tire service you need to take your car's performance to the next level.
10 minutes after 6, the DTN general opening call later this morning. Expect corn to open 3 to 5 higher, beans 4 to 6 higher, wheat steady to a penny lower. The overnight crude oil market, 72 cents higher at 102.99. Brent crude, 98 cents higher at 118.98. The June gold contract, $2.80 higher at $1,644.20, while the U.S. dollar index, 0.177 lower at 79.394. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, May wheat closed at 624 and three quarter, up 14. July wheat closed at 630, up 14 and a quarter. September wheat closed at 645, up 13 and a quarter. May corn on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 621, up 19 and a quarter. July corn closed at 612, up 18. September corn closed at 555, up 15 and a quarter. May soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 1415 and three quarter, up 8. July beans closed at 1421, up 7 and one half. August beans closed at 1410 and a half, up 8 and a half. May soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 391.90, up 13. July meal closed at 395.40, up 15. August meal closed at 390.60, up 17. May soybean oil yesterday closed at 55.17, down 2. July oil closed at 55.59, down 1, and August oil closed at 55.78, also down a penny. May oats on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 322 and 3 quarter, up 2. July oats closed at 325 and 3 quarter, up 3. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
This is the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture Grain Market News Report. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Tuesday afternoon. Corn moved higher over concerns for dry weather in northeastern China and colder weather in Illinois. Argentina lowered its corn production estimate, giving an additional boost to corn values. Soybean prices followed the corn prices higher. Central Illinois grain deals quoted their corn bids 18 to 21 cents higher at 614 to 629. Soybeans were up 8 to 10 cents at 1392 to 1405. Corn bids in southern Illinois were 18 to 22 cents higher at 623 to 645. Soybeans 8 to 12 cents higher at 1402 to 1422. And wheat was up 14 to 19 cents at 604 to 626. St. Louis area elevators and mills reported their corn bids 18 to 20 cents higher at 623 to 627. Soybeans were 8 to 12 cents higher at 1406 to 1417. Wheat closed 14 to 16 cents higher at 616 to 626. Illinois River barge loading elevators quote their corn bids 19 to 20 cents higher at 632 to 637. Soybeans were up 8 to 11 cents at 1418 to 1422. And new crop wheat was 14 to 16 cents higher at 611 to 620. East St. Louis barge loading elevators quoted their corn bids at 19 to 20 cents higher at 648 to 649. These elevators boosted their soybean prices 8 cents with quotations at 1436 to 1439. Wheat closed 14 cents higher at 647 to 648, and Milo was up 19 at $6 to 601. This is Kent McFarland reporting for WSMI.
And on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, May hogs closed at 88.47, up 122. June hogs closed at 88.77, up 142. July hogs closed at 89.32, up 95. April cattle on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday closed at 120.70, up 42. June cattle closed at 115.85, up 102. August cattle closed at 118.75, up 60. April feeder cattle yesterday closed at 150.87, down 52. May feeders closed at 150.207, up a nickel. August feeders closed at 155.52. That was unchanged. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
3 and a weighted average of 79.75. Hogs purchased Illinois today, 13,000. Illinois direct brown gilt trade steady, 53 to 56, and Illinois direct slaughter south steady to dollar lower. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 43 to 48. 450 to 550 pounds, 45 to 50. Over 550 pounds at 48 to 50. Today's estimated receipts, 925, and Tuesday's actuals, 1,000. Pork carcass cutout at 77.46, and that is up 93 cents. Estimated daily livestock slaughter and federal inspection, hogs for today, 418,000. Last week, 417,000. A year ago, 416,000. Week to date of 1,662,000. Cattle today, 125,000. Last week, 124,000. A year ago, 130,000. And week to date of 472,000. Box beef cutout values were higher on moderate demand and light to moderate offerings. Total movement today, 127 fab loads with 56 trim. Choice at 187.08, that is up $1.32. Select at 184.71, and that is up 87 cents. At the Greenville Livestock Auction, 840 head sold on Wednesday. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold 50 cents to dollar higher, Holstein steers 50 cents higher. Market comparison not available for slaughter cows, bulls, and feeder cattle as they were not reported last week. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 123 to 125. Selecting choice 2s and 3s, 117 to 123.5. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, sold at 113 to 117. With selecting choice 2s and 3s, 102 to 112.5. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, 123 to 125. Selecting choice 2s and 3s at 118 to 121.5. Slaughter cows, boning type, 79 to 87.5. Lean cows, 70 to 80. With slaughter bulls, your grade 1s at 98 to 99.5. Return to farm calves, Holstein males weighing between 75 and 95 pounds, sold from $190 to $240 a head. Feeder steers, medium and large frame number ones, a part load averaging 828 pounds, value added at 140, a load averaging 914 pounds, value added at 135 and a quarter. Holstein steers, large frame number threes, weighing 300 to 350 pounds, value added at 130 to 137. 400 to 500 pounds at 125 to 134 with value added at 139. 500 to 550 pounds at 112 to 120. Heifers, medium and large frame number ones, weighing 400 to 450 pounds at 170 to 177. 600 to 625 pounds at 135 to 139. At the real hay auction over at Congerville on Wednesday, 745 bales sold. Compared to last week, premium hay and small squares, so mostly steady. Good quality hay traded 25 cents to a dollar per bale higher. Wheat straw, 30 cents per bale higher. Alfalfa, premium quality, small squares from 5 to 575 and good quality at 4.5. Alfalfa Timothy mix, good quality small squares at 5.25. Alfalfa mixed grass, good quality small squares at 4.5. Orchard grass, good quality small squares at 3.25 to $4. With wheat straw, good quality at $1.50. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture, Livestock and Grain Market News Service, returning back to WSMI.
And on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, once again, April Class 3 milk closed at $15.77, up 3. For May, $15.04, up 36. And for June, $14.80, up 35. April butter on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday closed at $145.50, up 2.25. For May, $141.50, down 0.25. For June, $144, down 0.25. Non-fat dry milk on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for April closed at $124 unchanged. For May, $122.75 unchanged. And for June, $121.75 unchanged. Spot prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, $141.25 unchanged. For block cheese, $151 up 1. And for barrel cheese, $146 unchanged. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for April, $6.28. For May, $6.20. Corn delivered to Scottville for April, $6.20. And for May, $6.12. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for April, $14.01. For May, $14.08. And wheat delivered to Scottville for April, $6.07. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Once again, the pre-opening prices, corn at Greenfield, $6.28, corn at Scottville, $6.20, beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.01, wheat at Scottville, $6.07. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Friday, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar in the Weather Center showing a narrow band of showers north and west of a line from Alton to Lincoln, moving slowly to the east. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
M&M Service Company is now treating soybeans with the seed treatments to help you get the highest yield and best stand possible. Treating soybeans is the most effective way to protect your soybean stand against seedling diseases and insects while also providing early vigor. M&M also offers inoculate treatments. Your soybean crop is worth more today than ever before, and it makes sense to protect and enhance it with a seed treatment from M&M Service. Ask your crop specialist about the advantages of having your soybeans treated today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of need.
The local weather forecast for today, cloudy skies, cooler, a chance of a shower, high temperatures in the low 60s, northwest winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy and cooler, low temperatures in the upper 30s. Tomorrow, Saturday, partly cloudy, the high in the low 60s. And your extended forecast for Sunday through Tuesday, partly cloudy skies and warmer, low temperatures in the mid-50s, high temperatures in the low 70s. Right now at the Weather Center, light south winds, the barometric pressure is steady, cloudy skies at the Weather Center, 57 degrees on this Friday morning. Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by the Taylor & Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive, by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, by the Litchfield National Bank, and by the Sloan Implement Company. First of all, in our farm news on this Friday morning, the Greenville livestock auction from yesterday, total receipts 840, last week 355, a year ago 655. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold 50 cents to a dollar higher. Slaughter Holstein steers sold about a half dollar higher. Slaughter steers choice 2 to 3 brought a range from $120 to $124.73. Select and choice slaughter steers range from $112.34 to $120.90. Select and choice slaughter Holstein steers brought from $105.50 to $110.90. Choice 2 to 3 slaughter heifers brought a top of $125 at the Greenville Livestock Auction. Feeder steers, medium and large 1, brought a top of $182.48. Feeder medium and large 1 feeder heifers brought a top of $180. Medium and large 1 feeder bulls brought a top of $237.50. Those are some of the results at the Greenville Livestock Auction yesterday. In the sheep and goat sale, no market comparison due to last week's sale not being reported, but good demand was noted in most categories. Slaughter lambs accounted for about 13% of the run, slaughter ewes about 33%, feeder lambs 27%, slaughter kids 7%, slaughter nannies 9%, feeder kids about 7%, and all other goats about 6% of the total run. Total receipts yesterday were 30, a year ago, 32. Earlier this week, on Wednesday, we talked to Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. With the corn crop about 41% finished with planting compared to about 8% last year, at a five-year average of about 6%, we asked Sam how that will affect the market.
Well, I think they are. You know, typically we have these reports on Monday afternoons, but due to a fire at the USDA here recently, they had to delay it till yesterday. We did show, as a nation, about 17% planted. Specifically, you know, you look at the state-by-state breakdown, Illinois is at 41%. 2010 was the last time, you know, we've seen planting this quick, and Illinois was 29% in 2010. So we got Indiana at 24%, Iowa, Nebraska, 5% and 4% respectively out there. So we are getting things done in the ground. I would think if, as long as we don't catch a lot of rain here in the near term, you know, there's a pretty good chance for parts of Illinois into tomorrow night. Next week's number could be rather large. The week after that could be even bigger. And with the progress that all the southern states have made, you know, you talk about Louisiana, those states down there, I mean, they got pretty much everything in the ground. I mean, they're 2 to 3 weeks ahead of normal. So this continues to support an idea that, you know, we'll continue to see good planting pace and in turn get an early crop. And that's why we're seeing some additional pressure on some of these spreads. We're seeing selling in these front months versus the December contract. I also think part of this could be we've got May option expiration coming up this Friday, and any puts that have been that are now in the money, guys are selling futures against that, and that could spur additional more liquidation. The bean market's been something, you know, it's been really kind of a safe haven for corn to help prop the prices up. But at this point, you know, something we also have to consider is the fact that we've seen fund length at a very sizable position here, both in soybeans and soy meal. And I think in order to make new highs here, at least in the near term until we get into a weather problem, I think you're going to have to see the end user panic buying going on. I don't, you know, if you're a fund manager, after seeing a $3 plus rally in soybeans, it's going to be hard to justify buying soybeans up here. And when you start getting that that money on the run, you know, scared money runs really fast. You can continue to see you know, liquidation in this market, and I think we're really on the brink of that right now in soybeans. If we don't hold these lows we posted today or even in the overnight session, I think you could have a further break and maybe even go down 60 to 80 cents.
It seems like the soybean market, though, over the past several weeks has been like steady increases and minimal declines, and the corn market seems to be a lot more volatile.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and I think a lot of this is due to the weather. You know, we got a stocks report there a couple weeks ago that suggested we should have enough corn to bridge the gap between old crop and new crop. And again, going back to the fact that we could have some very early harvested corn, I think a lot of traders are giving up on the old crop, new crop spread, at least for now, until we can get into a weather problem. And right now, it's just too early for that. You know, the dry conditions in some of these, in some of the parts of the Corn Belt, were gaining more and more traction as of last week. But then the rains over the weekend, they hit right where they needed to. You know, northwest Iowa, northeast Nebraska, those are some of the driest parts in the country. They got a good shot of rain. Not going to fix anything for the rest of the year by any means, but it does give them, you know, buy them quite a bit of time. And now they have a good amount of moisture there to get a seed in the ground and get things off to a good start. As long as these temperatures hold, you know, hold pretty steady and can continue to increase as we go into this, you know, later spring. Months, I think things are going to be looking rather good right now.
And that was Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. The U.S.-Colombia Free Trade Agreement will go into effect on May 15th. American Soybean Association First Vice President Danny Murphy says the good news about the FTA came sooner than expected this year.
We expected it would be later in the summer, so it's good news for soybean farmers that we will get this free trade agreement in force May 15th and will immediately eliminate tariffs on soybeans and soybean products.
The agreement will make U.S. soybean farmers more competitive in the growing Colombian market.
The main benefit is that we will immediately reduce the tariffs that have been charged on soybeans. The tariffs between 5 and 20% will be reduced immediately to zero, which means effectively that the price of soybeans in Colombia will be reduced from 50 cents up to $2 a bushel, depending on what tariff rate was charged. we've got a naturally competitive advantage to export the soybeans into Colombia because of location. It's just a short trip, really, from the Gulf of Mexico to go to Colombia, and they're a growing market, an important economy in South America, and this reduction in tariff will make us much more competitive than we have been in the past.
Mr. Murphy says the agreement will bring not just a boost to U.S. soybean producers, but also to the American economy overall.
It's estimated that we'll increase export value by as much as $1.1 billion and also will add maybe as many as 20,000 additional jobs to the U.S. economy. So that's really great news. And it's important that people realize how important exports are to our country and how much job growth it does bring when we increase exports.
Murphy and the American Soybean Association hope the U.S. Free Trade Agreement with Panama will join the Colombian and recently implemented Korean Free Trade Agreements by setting an entry into force date for this summer. Rita Frazier of the Farm Bureau Radio Network talked to Jason Probst of Total Livestock Services about the progress in the field so far this spring.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting Ag News here on WSMI. This week we caught up with Jason Probst, swine specialist with Total Livestock Services. Jason works with several of our local FS cooperatives, and he was out in the field. We talked first about the early season in planting.
It's been great to have, you know, the spring that we can not be rushed at and actually get out and have great field conditions. I know this week here I've been traveling throughout territory and, you know, seeing a lot of corn that got planted early and off to a really good start even after the cold weather came through. We're pretty fortunate that our corn was small enough, and when the cold weather did come through, that the radiant heat coming out of the soil was able to keep any frost damaging for having it other than right along the roadsides where we lost some of that heat there. But corn that I've seen up, especially in Montgomery and Macoupin counties this week, looks excellent. Guys are off to a really great start. I know over in the eastern part of our territory around Effingham, you know, the guys have hit home runs well, it looks like, on early corn that's been planted. So looking real forward to the prospects of an early harvest and having more corn coming into the pipeline, which should help bring prices down from a feed standpoint.
Yeah, we just talked to you about a month ago about just that, about prices on both the feed standpoint and market price. Talk a little bit about how things look here at the end, towards the end of April.
Well, last 30 days, we've seen corn after report go back, go down going into the report and then jump right back up. Didn't quite take out the highs we had beforehand, but pretty close. And then we've seen here in the last week, corn is really falling out of bed and starting, you know, push down towards $6 out there in the country. So from a feed perspective, it looks real good. Flip side, distillers grains have been holding their own somewhere in that low 205 to 215 FOB at the plants, depending on where you're at and availability. And a lot of it comes down to the amount of ethanol those plants are putting out. Some of them have backed off on their production a little bit with the price of corn, the loss of the blender's credit out there. So they've been a little bit shorter on some distillers in some areas. The big thing, though, we've seen is the beans. After the crop report came out there at the end of March, beans have really shot up, which has brought meal up with it. We're getting some relief in some areas, but it's, you know, kind of picked up some of it, some others.
Jason, really some great news, encouraging, because you have another open house on the horizon for the industry, and always a good sign if we're expanding and building in this industry.
Things we've seen here, a lot of interest in building this summer with buildings coming out, seeing a lot of finishers going in. You know, we've got some producers that are looking, are going to have some open houses here this spring with Illinois pork producers, and I say, tell the guys, you know, stay close to your local pork producer organizations in the state to find out when those open houses are going on. You know, good opportunity for the public to come out and look at the new technologies that are going on in our buildings and see how we're looking to be good neighbors and just, you know, put a good face to, you know, the pork industry.
Jason Probst with Total Livestock Services reporting. I'm Rita Frazier.
It is more important than ever this season for dairy and beef cattle producers to consider what crops to plant and in which ways they will be harvested. The first goal, though, as Todd Gleason reports, is to protect a feedstuff already in the field, alfalfa.
The first cutting of alfalfa must come off in the best possible shape, says Illinois animal scientist Mike Hutchins. He specializes in dairy production.
this whole spring thing coming into play is, what's my alfalfa looking like? Can I really be ready to go so I can harvest it when it's got a relative forage quality index of like 190 as far as that goes? Because that's the good stuff as far as that goes, which means I may have to buy less corn. How much corn silage am I going to plant this year? If I got winter wheat, should I be looking at this as a forage crop for my cow versus taking it for straw and grain? Should we be looking at a summer annual such as a sorghum Sudan grass hybrid? Should we be looking at this? So I think our farmers need to really look at this, because if you look at planting intentions, corn acreage is going up, alfalfa acreage is going down, you know, and soybeans are going down. And so these intentions are going to have huge impacts. And I think we need to be talking and thinking about that now rather than waiting till May and decide, gee, I wish I would have planted 20 more acres of corn silage, or I should have looked at a different alternative crop.
That's a lot to absorb, so let's just deal with the first point, protect the alfalfa crop, which brings me to Illinois entomologist Mike Gray. He says, starting in southern Illinois now, alfalfa fields should be scouted for weevils.
Especially along southern exposures, those areas that tend to warm up a little bit earlier than other parts of the field. We can use degree day accumulations beginning in January 1 using a base 48 degree threshold. And when we accumulate somewhere close to 300 degree days, that's a good sign that alfalfa weevil larvae are beginning to hatch from eggs.
The early signs of alfalfa weevil infestations are small pinhole-sized feeding on the terminal leaves of the plant. Gray says the hatch is probably just beginning now, so it's a good time to scout. The threshold for a rescue treatment to be deployed is 25% to 50% feeding on the leaves and three or more alfalfa weevil larvae per plant. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
A couple of other notes in farm news on this Friday morning. Ella Olfke, a 7-year-old first grader who attends the McGowie School in Mount Zion, became a national champion in lead line equitation in the Pony of the Americas competition. It's quite an achievement and an honor, according to Joyce Bannister, Executive Secretary of Pony of Americas Incorporated. Ella's all-winning 2011 season Unheard of for a Beginner was done with her 6-year-old Appaloosa named Perfect Teardrops. Our guest on the Horse Show Saturday is Kathy Lewis of Alhambra. She is involved with the legendary Mustang Sanctuary. We'll talk about the animal and those available for adoption. The WSMI Farm and Horse Show, Saturday morning at 6:15, Saturday afternoon at 12:45 on WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Once again, the DTN general opening call for later today. Expect corn to open about a nickel higher, beans about a nickel higher, wheat about a penny lower. The overnight crude oil market, 72 cents higher at 102.99. Brent crude, 98 cents higher at 118.98. The June gold contract, $2.80 higher at $1,644.20. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106, beginning with the opening commodity markets this morning at 9:32. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Litchfield National Bank, by the Taylor and Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive, by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, and by the Sloan Implement Company.